Brother Rex Maughan is going to bring the word to us this morning, so let's open up our hearts to hear from him this morning.
Good morning. It's nice to see everyone out. Hopefully you just didn't come to hear me this morning. Fighting a cold, but I'm getting over it. Usually I try to be funny or persuasive or make people laugh. I like to laugh with Steve and Jody. They're really nice to laugh with. Just because this weekend, you know, they had a good time. But when it comes to talking and getting a chance and opportunity to speak to the congregation about the Lord, I get kind of serious. And I like to be really close to what everybody else is believing in. And hopefully that's where I'm at. But you have to ask yourself the question. I'll give you a little story about this sermon. This sermon was not on my mind at all. I was supposed to preach last week, and I was very sick. And the Lord led me to write this, so I wrote it. And before I was even writing it, I was led to write something else, but that wasn't working out, and he just kept turning a few pages back, and I kept looking at it. I go, well, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do, Lord. So I bowed down to his will, not mine. I tried not to ever let it be mine. But I went to him, and I said, okay, this is it. So I sat down, and I took the time. I wrote it all up, and then we had company come over. And I wasn't quite finished, but I had 4.5 pages done. And the company came over, and my wife told me the computer crashed. So the next thing is, maybe he didn't want me to write on that, you know? And I lost it all. So immediately I started again on what I was going to write on in the first place. I know this all sounds kind of old, you know, but anyway, I started writing on it again, and all of a sudden I looked at the bottom of the computer and it said recovery. So I clicked on it, and what do you know? My sermon comes back up that the Lord wanted me to preach on. So here I am. But still, I didn't know if I was prepared yet. And last night, I've been a little bit stressed out. And I took this and I said, I ain't gonna preach on that. So I put that aside. And I wrote another one. I always try to have my wife proofread it. Of course, she don't like me telling everybody that, but I always try to let her proofread it and get her opinion, which she don't like to give, but I always try to, you know, push her a little bit and get her to say it. But she says, I like the other one better. I said, okay, the one that God wanted, huh? Okay, I'll beat you on that one. So here we are, and this is God's ways are our ways. And that's what the theme is today. And if we'd all open up our Bibles to Isaiah 55, chapter 55, verse 8. Everybody got a Bible today? Just raise your hand. I won't embarrass anybody. Okay, we see a lot of people that don't have a Bible. Pastor, you got a Bible? Okay. Okay, just wanted to make sure, you know. I won't embarrass anybody. You got one, George? All right, okay. But things don't work out as we think they should. Some people often quote Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. God's ways are above our ways, and often we have no idea why he allows certain things to happen. But the scripture we so often lean on for consolation is not directed at the godly. Here it is in context. Starting with chapter 6, or verse 6, I'm sorry. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55, 6 through 8. God is directing himself to the wicked and the unrighteous man, not only the pure man, but the unrighteous. He is speaking to the unregenerate, those whose carnal mind is at enmity with him, who walk in the vanity of their own mind, having the understanding darkened. As we in Sunday school learn today, knowledge and understanding and wisdom, and it all takes place together. And I realized that in Sunday school, which, you know, I knew already, but it all works together for the good of the Lord. So before we trust in the Savior who died for us, we are as enemies in our own minds, through wicked works and even our own personal thoughts. We can be an abomination to the Lord. So if you turn with me to Proverbs 15, chapter 15, verse 26. Get there myself. We learn here, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Like lost sheep, we have all gone astray. We have turned every one his or her own way, and our ways are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 15:9, chapter 15, verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. We also must remember that our Lord is a sovereign Lord. He puts his law into our minds, giving us a new mind, the mind of Christ, and renewing us in the spirit of our minds. He gives us a new and living way. Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 20. You can turn there if you'd like. And if you'd like, now God's ways, if you read this, I want to read it. God wants me to read this, but I can't find it. Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Now God's ways are our ways, and God's thoughts become our thoughts. We are led by the Spirit, walking in his ways. Psalms 119, verse 3. Now this should all be pretty easy for everyone to remember. Right? It's all clear. Crystal. Here it is, black and white. We got the word. We got the good news. We're all ready to go. Doesn't always happen that way, does it? To prove my point, before I was a Christian, I made many attempts to get into trouble with my parents or some other governing force. But my mother was soon to remind me that we didn't live too far from a state prison. And by not following her ways, that was going to be my home, or even the governing force. But I was quickly, retract that statement. I was quickly detoured, as per se, from my mother's thoughts and away from my right, pure thoughts. Because I didn't know what the Lord wanted me to do. I was young, and I was perceived as a troublemaker. And she wanted to tell me that that was going to be my home, that state prison. Well, that isn't what I wanted. But the Lord had different plans for me at that point. He led me a different way. And now, to this day, every chance I get, I'll go down to the jail and I'll witness to others about the Lord and what he's done to my life. Because that's his will. That is what he wanted me to do. And I like to prove my mother wrong in that manner. The question today lies within you, though. What are your desires? Do you desire above all things to have a better paying job, a bigger house, thicker carpet, a superior car, or just more hair? I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. Are we controlled by the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, and the pride of life, or have we been transformed from the way of this world by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God? It gets easier, right? No, it gets tough. You got to put away your own will. You got to open up to God's will. God's will is in black and white. He's saying, listen to me. If you're a Christian today, I encourage you to read the Bible. Open it up, because things will just pop out at you. You just wouldn't believe. And the Holy Spirit just works in so many different ways. Are our desires now in line with God's desires? Are we above all things not willing that any should perish, that all men should come to the knowledge of the truth? We should be. I don't want to see anyone here today perish because their own mind led them to go that way, the wrong way, not according to Scripture. But if that's your testimony today, it's because we have the same spirit as the Apostle Paul, who said, "For it is God who works in me to both will and do of his good pleasure. And that'd be Philippians chapter 2:13. One Bible I own says this verse this way: "For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him." So now I know why I get energized when I do God's work, when I do his will. Because he's in me. And I am very amazed at his will and expectations for me. I get excited that his desires become mine. And I know it. There's an understanding, a knowledge, a wisdom. So therefore, if you're like this, you can therefore pursue the goals and dreams of God that are in his will for you, and therefore you can confidently expect him to honor them. Remember, I don't want anybody to think that this is all presumption or an arrogant taking for granted, but a pure, unadulterated desire to do the right thing by preaching out to the lost. So we must do godly exploits. We can trust that we are in the will of God and that he is in goodness with, and he will honor them. Again, does this mean that we need to only say or speak the words Mercedes-Benz, big house, more hair, or just diamonds, and God will give them to us? I don't think so. If our covetous heart has been crucified with Christ, our desire is God's desire and won't be for more, bigger, better, but none should perish. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to us if we need them. Scripture is very clear and also warns that a covetous prayer would not be answered. You ask and you do not receive because you amiss that you may spend it on pleasures. James chapter 4, verse 3. Well, that's actually the end of my sermon. We're going to get out of here early today. I hope. But God had laid that on my heart because I believe that a lot of people expect worldly pleasures for themselves. We expect more money. We expect to be warm. We expect that bigger house. Well, that's good. I mean, if it's in God's will and he wants you to have everything, he wants you to have the very best, then I say, go for it. But that's me on a, I mean, but make sure it's God's will. I think God's will for me is his desire for me is to be out ministering more, maybe even the mission field. I mean, it's a desire that I wish to have. But is it in God's program? I don't know. It's his will. But these days, we need to be absolutely clear on what God's will is for us. I mean, we see a lot of problems happening today. The war, the talk of war, the battle. I mean, people, you might even know somebody that is being sent out to fight. For what? For our freedom. I don't know. But we need to pray. We need to pray for our government, to pray for individuals, pray for each other, that we can get out and witness. Because that is the most important thing. And that is the end of my sermon. We pray. I'd like everyone to stand. I'd like everyone just to relax. Take a hold of your neighbor's hand. And again, it's just a reassuring to let them know that you care for them. And I do know that as a body, as a team, when we pray, things happen. The will of God just pours on us because everyone is thinking in one accord. As Christians, we all know that God loves us. As humans, we should care. We should be doing more. If you're not doing more, then I'd say pray more. If you can't do more physically, I'd say pray more. I mean, it helps to pray. It helps to pray daily. It helps to open up the Word and read the Scriptures daily. I find that in my own self, the stress of just getting up here, the nervousness, just the stress of daily work, just the stress of, I got to go talk to somebody else. It gets harder every day. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak your message here today. Lord, I pray for each one of these people that could come out here. And as we grasp our neighbor's hand, let us just reassure them that God loves them. Let's just reassure them that we're praying for them. We're praying for each other. For you, Lord, we put you first in everything that we do. We want your will. We want your understanding, your wisdom to be ours, just to be in one accord. Lord, I thank you for the men and ladies that are not ashamed to get out and to preach your word. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You can be seated for just a... I know, you thought you were getting out early. You know, God's will is exactly what I would choose if I had all the facts. And you know, unfortunately with God, he doesn't reveal everything to us all at once. His will is revealed to us over a lifetime. So he might only give us enough light, enough knowledge to take the next step. And we have to be willing to step out in faith and follow him. I've also discovered that in order to fulfill God's will for your life, or in any matter, you need to be willing to fail. And I think that's why a lot of people don't step out, is because they're not willing to take the risk. They're not willing to fail. Well, I know I would fail if I did that because I don't feel qualified to do that. But you know, God doesn't, there was a sign on the back just a couple of weeks ago. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So you step out in faith first, and then he will qualify you. So take some initiation on our part. So be willing to risk failure. Somebody you've been thinking about witnessing to. Now, I'm afraid to witness to them because what if they don't get saved? Well, that's okay. Be willing to risk failure. And you'll be amazed at what God can do through you as you just allow yourself to be used of him. It says in Psalm 103 and verse 7 that God made known his ways to Moses. God wants us to know his ways. He wants us to know which step to take. He wants us to walk in the light, not in the darkness. But again, he's just going to lead us maybe a step at a time. So maybe we could sing that chorus, Step by Step. Can we find it, Mark? And then if the worship team wants to come back up here and help me, that would be great. We won't keep you long, much longer, but okay, this would be a good song to sing. Why don't we stand, please?
You, oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. My God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you lead me. I will follow you all of my days.
Before we sing it again, I want you to think about that. Is he your God? Is he God? Is he Lord? If he is, you seek him in the morning. That means to seek him early. Seek him early on. Those that seek him early will find him. And then notice that you just don't automatically walk in his ways. You'll learn to. You'll learn to distinguish the voice of the Lord from the voice of the world. You learn to walk in his ways. And then again, it's that step-by-step leading. And you follow him step-by-step, and before you know it, he followed him all of your days, all of your life. So as we sing this again, could you just make it a prayer? Make it a prayer, even though it's kind of a snappy song, still make it a prayer in your heart. Lord, I'll seek you, and I'll learn to walk in your ways, and I'll follow wherever you lead me. Okay, let's sing it again.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your
more time.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Step by step you lead me,
and I will follow you all of my days.
Amen. Be willing to risk failure this week. And I remember one of the first sermons I ever preached was back in my home church, and I was so nervous. And me and two or three other guys, I can't remember which, were preaching a revival. And I thought I just bombed. I thought it was, in fact, the guys that I was with told me I bombed. They said it was a bad sermon. Thankfully, there was a lady in the church afterwards that kind of came and picked me up and said, well, that really ministered to me. But otherwise, I felt like I had bombed it. And you know, at times like that where I felt I bombed it, there's always been somebody that has said, you know, that really ministered to me. So the words of encouragement go a long ways, believe me. But be willing to risk failure, all right? Because you're not going to fail. You're not going to fail. A failure is one who gives up. But if you don't give up, then you won't fail. All right? So be willing to risk failure this week. Do it for the Lord. All right. Stephen Lowe, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Thank you, Lord, for this important message you've given us today through Rex. I ask, Lord, prick our hearts when the things of the world get in the way of spiritual things, Lord. Let us not forget you because of all the blessings you've given us, Lord. Sometimes we take our eyes off of you and look more at all the blessings you've given us, and we forget about you. We just thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Open our eyes and our hearts to what you want us to know, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name.